Okay, today is February 8th. We discussed last class the contrast between the Ger Toshav and the Ger Tzedek. Right? The Ger Tzedek is keeping 613 mitzvahs. He's a convert. We don't give him treif meat. He's a Jew. Right? By every measure. The Ger Toshav keeps seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach. And we are commanded to protect him, to look after him, to from the farnes, right? That's our obligation according to the Torah. The Gemara says that even an akum, ovdei kochavim, we have to take care of their poor and look after them, but that's mishum darkei shalom. Right? So an akum means ovdei kochavim. He's worshiping Avodah Zarah. Look, we have to live with them. The Roman was in the Akum, right? And for most of our existence, when we're having these discussions, we were already living under their thumb, not the opposite. Right? You hear what I'm saying? Okay. So, I'd just like to pose the question. This is someone asked me at the end of class, so I said I'd start today with discussing this. What's the Christian? Is the Christian the Ger Toshav? Christian living in Israel, let's say. Is he a Ger Toshav or is he an Akum? So, this is a debate back from the time of Tosfos, right? And generally in the Middle Ages, I'm not just saying for expediency's sake, but the Balei HaTosfos generally paskin that Christians are not Akum, they're not Ovdei Kochavim. Not just because the censor, they were worried about what the Christians will think if we consider them to be idolaters. By the way, they consider us to not believe in God. Right? You understand why?
There's a distinction, though. Meaning, that's because they don't consider any other religion to be okay, whereas we consider some religions okay.
Fair enough. But they know we pray to a God. But they think we don't read that. This is their theology. The Vatican has been walking off of this the last 40, 50 years. But they believe Christian doctrine teaches that if you don't go through the Son, you're not getting to the Father. Now, there are some Christian movements over the last few hundred years that have themselves walked off of this. That's known as Unitarians. You get it? Not Trinitarians, Unitarians, that you can get straight to God. Right? But they think if you don't go, the Trinitarians say, if you don't go through the Son, you're not reaching the Father, except through the Son. You hear it? So they say we are not reaching God. Be it as it may, question is Christianity at its core an idolatrous religion because they have more than one Son, right? There's a Father and there's a Son. Those are two separate things, right? Or, as the Balei HaTosfos argued in a few places in Shas, notably the beginning of Bechoros, Bav Metzia, and especially a number of places in the Sefer Avodah Zarah, that since Christians believe in a creator, they believe in all of the stories of Yetzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah, they believe the Torah was revealed, right? Since Christians believe in all those things, alright, they set up a Shituf, it's called. Shituf, you get it? The Father and the Son, and even a third element, the Holy Ghost. I'm not initiated enough to know what that addition is. But the Christianity teaches that there is some kind of partnership, a dualism, even more than a dualism. It sounds like Zoroastrianism. Zoroastrians believe in two gods. There's a good God and there's a bad God. Our actions either strengthen the good God, in which case we'll get good crops, good morality, we'll get good events. Or if we act immorally, we're strengthening the bad God. And who knows where that's going. Right? So we have similar statements in our literature, right? Hashem tzilcho al yad yiminecha. God is your shadow. What does that mean? God is your shadow. God is your shadow. You act good. Good things will happen. You act bad, bad things will happen. Only we say it's happening from one God. God, our God, does the good and the bad to us. They couldn't deal with an all-benevolent God who could either allow Auschwitz or a tsunami or suffering, other things like that. They'll say, the God we worship, the good Persian, the God we worship doesn't allow that to happen. We're going to fervently worship him more and more and more so we get strong enough to finally wipe out that bad God. Right? But the Zohar is filled with this kind of stuff. Let me tell you a beautiful Zohar that's actually very nogea to this week. Listen to why it's nogea to this week. The Zohar says that there are 12 months of the year. 6 have been given to the Jewish people, and 6 were given to the Satan. Listen to this drush. 6 were given to the Satan. The Satan likes the extreme months. The Satan likes Tammuz, Av, and Elul, very hot. And he loves Tevet, Shvat, and Adar, where it's cold. Right? The Jews get the moderate months. Tishrei, Cheshvan, Kislev. Kislev is starting. And the spring months. Nisan, Iyar, and Sivan. That's why all our holidays appear in our months. The bad things that have happened to us appear in Satan's months. Got it? Here's our job. Our job is to take over the months of the year that were not given to us for our good days and to wrest all 12 months into the hands of the Jewish people. And if the Satan takes the months that were given to us into his hands, that'll destroy the world. So if we take all the months from Satan, we will defeat Satan and bring about the Muslim Mashiach. I'm just telling you a Zohar. Listen carefully. It says that already in the time the Zohar is written, it says we took back Elul as a result of... Anybody who's listening, tell me. Does it mean that we now own Elul? We took Elul as one of our holidays in Elul. But Tshuva in preparation for Shana Yom Kippur, right? And we also took Adar, right? But not Fofu, because of the Purim story, right? So it's 8-4. But the Satan still has Tammuz and Av. Very bad months for us because it's very hot then. We're not in our regular places then. Right? The Satan still has Teves and Shvat. It's cold still. The Satan still has 1/3 of the months. But we're moving. We're moving on. Okay? So Adar is a great time for us. We now have 4 months in a row that are ours. Okay? So that's next week. We'll show you Adar. But don't you see what's happening here? What causes the good and the bad in the world? They all come from God. But the Christian also, like the Persian, believes in an antichrist. Have you heard this? You know that? Like an anti... A power that is as powerful as the godly. Strengthened or weakened by man's actions. All right? So here is what I'd like to just conclude, is that Christians believe in something called shituf. We did once also in our history. It's called the Egel, right? The Egel, when the people who made it thought that this golden calf that we just made with our own hands did not just take us out of Egypt. That would be crazy. It couldn't be that stupid. This thing we made in with our own hands in the absence of Moshe, who until now represented the medium, the image of God for us. Whenever we needed God, we looked at Moshe. Now that Moshe, he's in Moshe Oish, he's just a human being, he's going to die one day. Let's now turn our attention to this golden calf. Whenever we want to see God or represent God, we'll look at this golden calf. And Moshe was very angry with that, right? The object of this golden calf was not of Ozara, it was God. Eila Elohecha Yisrael Asher Halucha Meretz Mitzrayim. Right? Got it? Okay. For much of our history, because we allowed pure Akum, actual Avodah Zara, the Canaanites, etc., to remain in Israel, we started worshipping actual Avodah Zara. That's actual Avodah Zara. We usually call them Baal. Are you familiar with that terminology? Baal. The Baal of the clouds is a special name. The Baal of the sun is a special name. The Baal of water has a special name. The Baal who helps us with our next battle has a special name. The Baal of the crops. And you worship a different god for each one of these things. All right? The Greeks were specialized in these things. You wanted a shidduch, you worshipped Venus. You wanted wisdom, you worshipped someone else. So, right? Each thing is a different power. Abraham was the one who decided there must be one power who is in charge of all these things. Got it? Okay. So B'nai Yisrael, it wasn't of a gezara, the ego. B'nai Yisrael thought to represent God with this physical manifestation. Moshe tries to teach them that nothing can physically manifest itself as the pure holiness of God. What could he do before their eyes to show them that? Smash these luchos that God himself just made. You got it? The Bnei Eli made the same mistake when they thought that we could take the Aron and the Aron will defeat the Philistines. You're right, the Aron has great power. But in the face of your behavior, it's just a box of wood and gold. Right? Bnei Yisrael made the same mistake in Yirmiyahu's time when they said God would never allow his Beis HaMikdash to be destroyed. And Yirmiyahu says, you're right. If this was a Richtiger Beis HaMikdash, if it stood as a real Beis HaMikdash, it would never be destroyed. But it's not. It's a den of iniquity in light of your behavior. So that there's no inherent pure holiness except God himself. And if you try to represent God with that holiness, you're making a mistake. That's what Christianity is. Right? So is it pure of Avodah Zarah? Moshe was angry with it. But the Balei HaMitzvos paskin that it's not Avodah Zarah. That Shituv is permitted to a Ben Noach, right? And for that reason, throughout the Middle Ages, Ashkenazic Jews were doing business with Christians. And what else could we do? Plus, it was Mishum Eva. If they got word that we felt that they were of the Avodah Zarah because of Jesus, then Wolpatayas. Ramban was able to successfully mention that position in his disputation with Pablo Christiani, right? Because he was guaranteed freedom of expression by James of Aragon in his disputation. But if a Jew would ever say, they would kill him on the spot. He said that Christianity is a heresy of Judaism, but not idolatry. He was saying it to be complimentary to them, because almost all the Sephardic poskim, like the Rambam, say that Christianity is absolutely a bizarre. Right? Please. Right? The Rambam says Christianity is absolutely a bizarre. Right? Some of the Ashkenazic poskim said, don't tell me what Christianity is supposed to be. The Christians where I live are of the Avodah Zarah. They have statues in front of their churches. I see them kneeling in front of statues and praying for baby Jesus and Mother Mary. That's Avodah Zarah. They kneel to Mother Mary. Yes?
Would Malachim in Judaism be a kind of Shittur?
Angels? I will tell you. Good question. I will tell you that there are... Rashbam says something that comes close to what some other commentaries claim is a dangerous kind of position. And I mentioned this, but I just finished a Haggadah, and it's not coming out in time for this Pesach, but the next Pesach. And when we talk about the 10th plague, which the Haggadah very carefully says was Ani v'lo malach, Ani v'lo shliach, Ani v'lo acher. Sound familiar, right? Mm-hmm. But in the story, it says pretty clear that it's a malach too. It says, Lo yitein ha-mashchis mavo el botechem lingo. Right? God didn't allow the mashchis into your houses. How can you say Ani v'lo malach, Ani v'lo saraf? He says the mashchis was killing you. God calls himself a mashchis? Mashchis is an angel of death, is a mashchis. So what was it? Was it God or was it an angel that slew him? Right? And if that's the case here, why don't we say that all the time? So I cite the answer that Rashbam gives to this. So Rashbam says that an angel is God. Whenever an angel appears, it is God. That's the Rambam's opinion, that's Rashbam's opinion.
Well, Jesus was a good God.
So here's the answer. No human being has ever seen an angel. Any story where there's an angel, it's a person in a dream.
manifestation of Avraham.
Or, like Malachi is called Malach Hashem. Chagai is called Malach Hashem.
Messenger.
You're a messenger. You could be a Malach Hashem today. Do something extraordinary and you're a Malach Hashem.
In the story of Avraham.
When an angel told him to not kill his son, there's no doubt that that's a supernatural being.
No, when he had a personality and the three angels bumped into him.
I didn't know they're angels. What does it say?
Rashi.
I'm doing Mashbam and Rambam right now. You're going to tell me that they can't have that opinion because Rashi says something else? Most Ashkenazi Rishonim say three men came to Avraham's house, ate food, and gave him a nevuah that his wife would give birth next year.
Do you tell me I can't find anywhere else?
In Lot's story, they're angels because they call them Malachim there and they do something extremely miraculous. You never heard of a human being telling someone what's going to happen next year? Was Elisha a Navi? He says the exact same words. Next year, he told the woman, you're going to have a baby. I happen to agree with Rashi on this particular score. Because I think that Rashi teaches us an amazingly beautiful point. Is part of Rashi's. Right? Rashbam just says, what God comes to him, and who's Avram talking to? Right? Rashbam says Avram was talking to God in the form of these three angels. Wow. Jews usually avoided saying God represents anything with the number three in the Middle Ages. But that's what Rishpam says. Listen to this pasuk. Vayomer Malach Hashem al Avram. This is exact quote. Al tishlach yodcho el anar va'al taslo me'uma ki ato yadati ki yirei lukim ato v'lo chasach tes bincho es yichitcho mimeni. Pasuk started off Vayomer Malach Hashem. Look at who's turning, who looks out at Moshe from the burning bush. Look at the first time it says Vayar Malach Hashem mitoch asneh. I'm just saying, there are a lot of different opinions on this, but Judaism had to contend with these kind of things, and it looks like in the end of the day, we have to do business with the Christians, and we have to live in their midst before they kill run over another town and destroy another 100,000 Jews in another place throughout the Middle Ages. Nonutsky's massacres killed 150,000 Jews just in a short period. So the Jews were living in harrowing times, and they had to find Piskei Halacha that figures out what. And I'm not saying that if they thought that Christianity was pure Avodah Zarah that they would have behaved otherwise. But they looked for ways to explain that they believe in a Creator, they believe in Yetzias Mitzrayim, they believe in Matan Torah. They just believe that God took a different turn at a particular point. All right. So that's the answer is that Tosfos says that the Christian is a ger toshav. He's not an akum. Okay? The Rambam disagrees. Yes?
I want to clarify the position of Shituf according to the Rambam. According to the Rambam, it's when I'm mitzvah of Shem Shemayim with Dabar Acher, and they give that other thing the same as like Hashivas as
correct.
Even though this is they believe in the Hashem who's also Shemayim Aris, still, if I give the same Hashivas as something else, I give less chashivas to the son than I give to the father, would it still be shittuf according to
Rambam? So we make it clear. The Rambam says mishtatev shem shemayim in davar acher is avodah zarah. The Balei Tosfos said it's not.
Even if I give davar acher less
chashivas. So if it's less chashivas, then you could that's the first Rambam in Hilchos Avodah Zarah. What you just described is the last Rambam at the very end of the Mishneh Torah. It explains what Christianity went wrong. The very last Rambam, the end of Hilchos Melachim, it's been censored in many, you can only find it in the Frankel edition of the Rambam. You won't find it in the regular Rambam. But now, in the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, he talks about what drove man away from belief in God to Avodah Zarah, which was, there is a king, and his officials also deserve some respect. So we know that there's a king, there's a God who brought the flood, and et cetera, et cetera. But we'd like to give some kavod. It was l'shem shamayim, so to say, right? But it's a slippery slope.
But then giving less chashiv or something else, it's not considered shituf.
So then it mistam it wouldn't, because then it's not the same. It's an emanation, it's something else.
Right. And I remember Tosfos, he writes that in one place that Tosman is that they don't doubt that he would have spoken. But does that imply that
they're not
Avodah Sam?
Right,
does that mean that only just not a zest, not a problem, or what? Or like whole religion is not a problem?
They just say they're not the Iker, they've changed drastically from their origins, which is probably true. That's why the Shah says, don't tell me what Christianity is supposed to be. The Christians in my time are Ovdei Avodah Zarah. You're bowing down to a statue of a woman holding a baby, and then right next to it you have another statue, and you go down, bow down to that one, and you have, go down, straight down this street, straight down Amsterdam Avenue, to 113th Street. On that side of the street, you'll see the largest church in New York. It's called St. John the Divine. And there are statues all over. People go one by one and pray to them and ask for things. What's with that? So,
inherently, is he saying that the Avodah Zarah are just as much as that we can avoid that? Or is that inherently they're not?
I think he's trying to say that we can deal with, we can sell them wine, buy wine from them. You can't drink it, but you can then resell it. It's not as if I know. What does it mean about the nature of Christianity? that I have to look at it. You have to look at Achronim.
He brings up Shita regarding the Shvua, meaning only because they made a Shvua to their gods, but it wouldn't necessarily apply to actually.
Right, because if we are the cause of them saying a Shvua to their god, we're not violating the first mission of the Sefer Avodah Zarah.
Their religion itself is not
for us. It's
Avodah Zarah. Yeah.
So for them, they would be Ger Tosha. I just want to tell you, I have the introduction of the No Debi Yehuda here. It's called Hisnatz Lo Samachaber, and he writes very quickly. He says, "Kvar No Davenit Parsem B'Chol Amakov Mos Asher Hayisi." This is Yecheskel Landau, the No Debi Yehuda. You've heard of him, right? He writes, "Sha'ani mazhir mochiach berov hadrashos barabim lios nizhar ma'ol b'kvod ha'umos asher bizmaninu va'anachnu chosim b'artoseyem v'b'dinoseyem." He says, everybody knows how careful I am with the kavod of the Christians in whose lands we live. V'chayavim anachnu nispalel b'shlom ha'malochim v'asarim v'cheloseyem v'nispalel al shlom ha'madina v'yoshveha v'cholim alonu lios kfuyei toba asher hema. Because at the time of the No Debi Yehuda, the Jews were still being forced out of some certain lands. And, you know, they were invited back into England only just before, but after we were away from England for almost 400 years, right? And the Gerush Sfarad was still in full force, of course. The Spanish Inquisition was still killing people if they converted, but tried to revert back to Judaism. Right? And he says, how many times, how many tshuvas I write of how important it is to have good relations with the Christians, right? Right? It's all very nice. But in the No Debi Yehuda, there's a tshuva, which is on the back side of this, where he says that Christianity is Avodah Zarah. Okay. Like, he kisses up on the front page. This is on the front cover. But then in the tshuva itself, he says you should be careful that to consider Christianity of Avodah Zarah. Right? So l'may nafka mina. If we would paskin that Christianity is Avodah Zarah, you would have to move out of New York. You'd have to move into, you'd have to just move to Israel. And even in Israel, you'd have trouble interacting with Christians. Right? And you should all learn Mesechas Avodah Zarah. We better paskin that it's not Avodah Zarah. Or you can just say everything we do with a Christian has to do is only, we only do because of Eva. Because we're afraid that if I don't behave in a certain way, there'll be mass be hatred of us. Okay? Alright, that just answers the question about what we did with Ger Toshav. Alright, so understand the bottom line of the fair treatment of the stranger in the Ger Tzedek. Question in public policy, should that guide our positions in the modern world because of our experience? I'll just take that. I knew you had a question from before, so I'll get back to my question.
Yeah, would you mind just clarifying why the Baalei Tosfos says that Christianity is not Avodah Zarah?
Because they're mishtatev shem shamayim im davar acher. They don't call it, they say it's God, but there's something in between to get there. It's the same way as saying that the egel is impure or bizarre. Because the object of egel worship was the God who just took us out of Egypt. Okay, you with me? Look, I just close the discussion. There's another time in our history where Yerovam ben Nevat, you familiar with the name? He's the first king of the 10 tribes after the king of Israel was split in two, right? The kingdom of Israel. Right? You familiar with the story? Right? So Yerovam ben Nevat put up two shrines. Right? Here's the northern kingdom of 10 tribes, the southern kingdom of Yehuda and Binyamin. He put up two shrines, one in Dan and one in the south in Beit El. Right? And he said, you don't have to go to Yerushalayim and leave my kingdom. I made very convenient for all Jews two shrines where you can go do your services and sacrifices there. Right? What? Shudei chutz? Everything that goes on in these places is illegal, according to the halacha. But that's what he did. And when he put up the shrines there, he put in golden calves. Who would do such a thing? Because I would suggest to you that Yerovam ben Nevat saw such a preponderance of Baal worship in his country that he thought, I'm trying to show that he was doing this l'shem shamayim, so to say, but it was still a grievous mistake. I will wean my people off of Baal worship by giving them golden calf worship. Why is golden calf worship preferable to Baal worship? Because at the end of the day,
it's not a
direct Avodah Zarah. Golden calf worship at least is directed towards Hashem. It's directed at Elokei Abraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. And when they worship these calves, they know they're worshiping God. And it'll wean them off of the Baal worship. Okay, so history has shown that Yerovam ben Nevat was mistaken. Calf worship was not a safety net against Baal worship. Get this clearly, okay? Listen carefully to this. It was not a safety net against Baal worship. It was a gateway to Baal worship. You can't give in this way. If you start saying, I'm trying to get the people away, I don't want it all.